The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. As you can imagine, people who preach regularly have to always keep their ears and eyes open, listening and watching for stories, illustrations, even jokes they might use in a sermon. This is particularly true when a preacher has been in the same place for a while. I'm well into my fourth trip through the three-year lectionary cycle with the people of First Lutheran, which means I've preached somewhere around 500 sermons from this pulpit. That feels like a lot. So I'm grateful when you share things with me, memes, prayers, blogs that you found inspirational, amusing, or even irreverent. I even enjoy the groaners I get from one of you, and you know who you are. They're really bad, but they still make me laugh. This past December, someone forwarded me a video that had gone viral over in Great Britain of a 6-year-old boy named Milo. Milo is in the car, belted into his booster seat, having just been picked up from school by his mom and his Nana. Nana is videoing a very excited Milo on her phone, and gosh, I wish I could do a British accent because it makes the whole exchange even more brilliant. Milo says, "Guess what I am for the nativity? I'm a classic one." "A classic role, is it? A classic part?" Nana asks. "Yeah." Nana then asks, "Is it Joseph?" "No." "Is it one of the wise men?" "No." "An innkeeper?" "No." "But it's a classic part? You tell me then." Milo bursts out, "I'm door holder number 3. I'll be holding doors." Somehow Nana manages to keep it together, I guess because she can tell how enthusiastic Milo is. "That's amazing," she says. "Were you pleased when they said that?" "Yeah, I was like, I'm a door holder. Get in there. Let's go. Yes." The video wraps up with some conversation about how Milo might dress for this classic role. It really is worth Googling if you have a few minutes. I'm not exactly sure what nativity Milo's school is putting on. We don't hear about any door holders in the Bible stories about the birth of Jesus found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, and there's definitely nothing about door holders in the Gospel of Mark, our primary focus during this year of the lectionary. As Pastor Lorenz and I have mentioned a few times now, Mark skips Jesus' origin story entirely. There are no angels, no pregnant virgins, no shepherds, no wise men, no stars in the sky. Jesus simply appears on the scene, fully grown up. Mark starts off his gospel with a couple of verses about John the Baptist, who appears in the wilderness and baptizes and predicts the coming of one more powerful than he. Then we get a couple of verses about the baptism of Jesus, then a couple of verses about Jesus going off into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, and then boom, Jesus begins his public ministry, proclaiming the good news of God and the promise that the kingdom of God has come near. And only 15 verses, just a few hundred words in to the Gospel of Mark, we get the picture of what this grown-up Jesus is all about. He calls people to work for him. This morning, we heard one of those call stories, perhaps the best known of them all. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke each include a version of this tale. About the day some men were pretty much minding their own business, which happened to be the fishing business, along the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus said, "Follow me," and the guys who were casting nets into the water just left them behind, and the guys who were sitting in their boat with their dad and some employees mending nets just left them behind, just like that. Immediately, Mark tells us, in case we were wondering, immediately. Now, it's natural to marvel at the response of Simon, Andrew, James, and John to Jesus' call. Even the youngest kids learning this story at Bible camp or Sunday school find it remarkable that people would walk away from their boats, their equipment, their father, because of a few words uttered by a stranger passing by. We try to come up with a rationale for how such a thing could happen. Maybe the fishermen had met Jesus in town already, or had heard John the Baptist talk about him. Perhaps they got wind of what happened when Jesus was baptized, how the heavens opened and a voice spoke, and they were impressed. Or maybe the fishermen were just tired of fishing. After all, it was hard and extremely unglamorous work. These guys spent their days tossing smelly, heavy, wet nets into the sea, pulling them back onto the boat, sorting through the debris and useless catch, and tossing the nets out again and again and again and again. At the end of the day, before they could think about heading home, hot, tired, with a successful catch or maybe not, they'd have to spend time mending their nets, getting ready to start all over the next morning. Fishermen were rewarded for their labor and the food they harvested from the sea for their community, both by being taxed on their catches at onerous levels and by being treated with the same disdain tax collectors were. Both groups occupied rungs down near the bottom of the social ladder. Why wouldn't Simon, Andrew, James, and John be ready to jump at something different? Except whether or not they realize it in the moments after they left their boats, nets, livelihoods and families behind, the job Jesus is calling these men to do is actually going to be as unglamorous as what they've been doing. The only difference is that instead of fishing for things that swim in the sea, they're now going to be fishing for people. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. As familiar as today's gospel story is, it's a bit hard for us to relate to. Fishing and all it entailed was something the people of the early church very much would have resonated with. And that's why this story survived being passed verbally around the Christian community until it finally got written down. And even though there are some folks among us who enjoy casting a rod along the yellow breeches, the kind of fishing Simon, Andrew, James, and John did is a bit disconnected from our daily experience. But today's gospel isn't really about fishing. It's about the kind of work we followers of Jesus are called to do. The work of the kingdom, proclaiming good news, being light in the darkness, feeding the hungry, giving the thirsty something to drink, welcoming the stranger and clothing the naked, caring for the sick and visiting the prisoner. This is not glamorous stuff. But gosh, how blessed we are when we approach the work Jesus calls us to do with the enthusiasm of door holder number 3. An enthusiasm born of the divine promise that no job done in the name of Christ is too small or too unimportant to make a difference. So yeah, get in there. Let's go. Yes.